Again, good morning. It's good to be together. I was listening to an interview the other day, and let me set this interview up a little bit. It was somebody talking about their uncle's experience in the Holocaust. So this journalist didn't know that his uncle had written a book. So his uncle had written a book about his time as a teenager in the concentration camps during the Holocaust. And so it's this journalist now reflecting and even talking to his uncle. And there was something that was said in this interview that was so fascinating to me that I needed to listen to it again to make sure I had heard correctly. You see, this journalist's uncle had been in multiple concentration camps as a teenager, had seen unbelievably horrific things, and was surrounded really by death and torture on a daily basis. Saw an unbelievable amount of darkness and what is wrong with humanity. And you just can't even imagine what he must have seen. Well, during the interview, this person then talks about hope and reflected this way. The journalist wrote this: "Despite all the horrors described by my uncle, the one thing forever embedded in my brain was the concept of hope being more important than food, water, shelter, comfort, safety, and everything, every other thing. My uncle explained that he survived the darkest moments of humanity purely based on hope. He said one of the greatest causes of death was lost hope. He could see it on someone's face, and they would be dead within 24 hours. Anyone who could keep their hope would survive through anything." Think about that for a second. This man said that the key to survival in the darkest of dark places, in the worst of the worst, he said what his uncle said was the absolute key to survival was hope, was keeping hope even in the midst of the darkness. And that when a person lost hope, they were then in danger of soon losing their life. But if he could just keep hope, if hope could just be kept, regardless of how bad things look, then those were the people who survived. He says the entire key was hope. And I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to focus on this concept of hope. Because I would argue that at the foundation of Christianity, at the very foundation of our faith, is the concept of hope. It was funny, I was thinking this morning, thinking about, all right, driving to church early this morning, going, all right, I'm preaching on hope today, thinking about hope. And I drove past a church on my way here, and in their sign, all it said as an invite to people, the invite was this: come find hope. Come find hope. And in many ways, that's why we do, that's what we're looking for. Because our world can be so dark. Our world can feel so hopeless, right? There's a hopelessness that comes when we butt up against the brokenness of this world. There's a hopelessness that comes when your physical body or the body of a loved one begins breaking down, when disease is present, even when death comes, when faced with that brokenness, there's a hopelessness that sets in. Or when you put your hope in your dreams, in what your life would look like, and those dreams do not come to fruition, there's a hopelessness that takes over. When relationships break down and you're hurt by those people who are closest to you, there's a hopelessness that sets in. Life can be dark, and when it's dark, hopelessness can take over, and the loss of hope is a pathway to despair and darkness, right? We turn on the news right now. Like, oh, I'm going to watch some TV. Oh, coronavirus, right? Like, just right there in front of you. Or another tragedy around the world, another shooting in our country, whatever else it might be. And we can be left in a dark place, depressed and anxious, just wishing to find hope. And like that interview subject said earlier, hope allows for us to persevere through much and allows for us to keep going. But conversely, the loss of hope can leave us in a dark place. And so what I want to ask us today is just that question: where do you find your hope? Where do we go for hope? And I don't mean just a fleeting hope, but what I mean is a hope that can withstand the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Like when life is great, what's at my foundation? But what I really want to talk about today is when life is crumbling around you, when the storms of life are just banging against you, where do you find hope that is real, that is lasting, that is actual? Is that even possible? And so I want to walk through a couple passages today with this mindset, this idea of where do we find our hope. If you're visiting with us or haven't been around for a couple weeks, over the last few weeks, we've been walking our way through a sermon series called Walking in Victory. And the goal of this series has been to help us better understand, who am I? So week one, we talked about the image of God, the Imago Dei, and we said each of us have been created in the image of God, and because you and I have been created in the image of God, we have intrinsic value. That there's no amount of money, there's no amount of fame, there's no amount of power or prestige that can add to my value, and there's no amount of anything else that can take away from my value, that I am intrinsically valuable because I was created in the image of God. Because he knit me together in my mother's womb, it says. Because he knows me more than I know myself. And because he sent Jesus, and through that I've been adopted and he calls me his child. That's who we are. But then week two, we talked about the fallenness of humanity and the problem that is for each one of us. That because we are fallen, because humanity is fallen and sinful, we now deserve death. We deserve judgment. And that's the problem facing all of us. But then last week, we turned the corner and talked about the amazing news of salvation by grace. That while we are lost in our sinfulness, God did not leave us that way, but instead he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus as a way for sins to be forgiven, for hope to be restored, for life to be given. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 2 in particular as it describes this grace as God's kindness, as his mercy, as his grace, and as a gift. That our salvation is not earned, but is given out of God's loving kindness. And this morning we start to build on those foundations and think about, what do these truths mean to my day-to-day life? What difference does it make? And it's with that question I want to say, I want to take the phrase hope in Christ. What difference does it mean that we have hope in Christ? Friends, in the Bible, the word hope is used over 200 times. And I think what's important for us to realize is that when the Bible talks about hope, I think it's using that word in a different way than the way we normally use it. When we talk about hope, it's based on probabilities and wishes. We're crossing our fingers and like, I hope, right? What do we say? I hope I save enough money to retire one day. I hope, right? I hope my kid gets good enough grades to get into a school, some school, right? I hope, right? Baseball season's upon us. I hope the Mets win the World Series. It's not really based on much, but I hope. Right, we hope. Oftentimes when we talk about hope, it's based on a kind of wish and a hope that may or may not come true. Whether it's a person or a thing, a system or a spouse, whatever it is, you're banking on probabilities and wishes. I hope that comes true. Biblical hope, on the other hand, is different because it's not a mere desire for something good to happen, but it is a confident expectation based on promises. And beyond that, it's not just based on the promises, but it's based on the trustworthiness of the one who makes the promises. Our hope is based on the promise giver, not just on the promise, but the one who makes the promise. And so hope in Christ is not cross your fingers, it's instead expect great things from God. Biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. There is a certainty to it. And the reason there's a certainty is because of the absolute trustworthy nature of the one who makes the promises that we cling to. When we say we have hope in Christ, that has a permanence to it, that has a depth to it. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is Paul's benediction in the book of Romans, and he begins it, "May the God of hope," that God is both the source of hope and our supplier of hope. He's declaring something about the very essence and nature of God, that God is the author of hope, that part of his nature is that he is full of hope, that he is a God of hope. Paul's saying that may the one who authors hope, may the origin of hope, may he fill you with joy and with peace. That as we realize that he's the author and hope, may that give us joy and peace, regardless of what's happening in our lives. And then his prayer continues that as we have this joy and peace, we will then overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's been my prayer for all of us this week, that no matter where your life is right now, and I have no doubt there are people here this morning for whom my conversation about life crashing around you isn't theoretical, it's in reality. That you're facing sickness and death or hardship or betrayal or whatever else right now. And my hope especially for you, my prayer especially for you, is that you would leave here in the words of Romans 15, overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, realizing that our hope is not dependent upon our circumstances, but it is given by the author of hope. It is dependent on him. Paul also writes in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Paul says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." Paul says, even in the midst of suffering, we can hope, and that hope is out of God's love that he has poured out. Think about Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. The words of David. David says this, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" It's like David's looking in that mirror that we talk about. He's looking in the mirror and he says, why, soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? And then he preaches to himself. He looks in that mirror and he says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." David's saying, my soul is depressed. It is downcast. It is downtrodden. And then he looks at himself and he says, "Put your hope in God." It's a statement of what he must do as his soul is downcast. How often are we downcast? How often do we feel burdened? And the question is, where do we turn? David was saying this to himself. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in the only place it belongs, the only place that can hold it. Put your hope there. Let me read one more passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." He starts this verse, this prayer right here, he starts these words with what we talked about last week. That it's God's great mercy that he's given us new birth. But I'd say new birth into what? It says he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. into an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade. What is our hope founded on, friends? What is the living hope? The living hope, according to Peter here, is what was accomplished for us when Jesus rose from the dead. Our living hope is what we're going to celebrate here in about 5 weeks, Easter. Our living hope is that that tomb was empty and still is empty. And that because of that good news, we've been birthed into a living hope that will never go away, that it is firm, it is permanent, and our hope is secure. See, friends, here's the truth. When we put our hope in things that leak over time, when we put our hope in things that are volatile, in things that are tenuous, when we put our hope and our trust in those types of things, then our hope could be gone tomorrow. And we do not have secure hope. Our hope, though, is always dependent then on something else. It could be dependent on our health, and that could go away tomorrow. It could be dependent on someone else's presence in your life, and that could go away tomorrow. It could be dependent on the ups and downs of the stock market. Anybody follow the stock market this week? If your hope is in the stock market, that's a tenuous place to put it. Whatever it might be, when we base our hope on things that are volatile and tenuous, we need to see the danger in that. Yet so many of us do that, and then we go through seasons of having no hope because those things that we put our hope in thinking they were worthy of our hope go away. I'm going to put my hope in how healthy I am, and then the doctor comes into the room and says, cancer. I'm going to put my hope into my kids, and then my kids run, you know, they run away, maybe not literally, but figuratively. I'm going to put my hope in my job and my position, and then they call you one day and say, we're downsizing. I'm going to put my hope in my bank account, and then the stock market goes just because of a virus that's around the world right now. And we realize that when we put our hope in things that are tenuous, then they can go away. And it can go away. That's Jesus' essential point in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. We know this passage, but hear it again today. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great friends, when we put our hope in things that can crash, then we are in danger of ending up hopeless with our life crashing around us. But the alternative is to put our hope in that which is a firm foundation. It's to put our hope in God. It is to ground ourselves on the firm foundation so that even when things feel crazy and even when they feel hopeless, we still have hope. Like, here's part of the truth that we have to wrestle with. Jesus himself said, you're going to have trouble in this world. Jesus never said, if you have trouble. Jesus said, when you have trouble. So even if you're sitting here right now going, I don't know, my life feels pretty good, just wait. And when it comes crashing down, where are you going to go? What's going to hold you up? What will be your foundation that holds? To ask it another way, today, where is your hope? Where is your hope? I'd like to spend then the rest of our time getting concrete about how faith in Christ gives us hope even in the midst of darkness. I want to talk specifically to those of you that I referenced earlier where you were like, no, my life is literally crashing around me right now. It feels like the storms are overtaking the boat, if you will. I want to tell you about how faith in Christ can give you hope even in the midst of darkness. First, by his very name, Emmanuel, which means God with us, we know that Jesus always will be with us. That no matter how difficult things are, and things can be really hard, we can hold on to the fact that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. We could trust the word of the psalmist when he said that God promises to be near to the brokenhearted. There's never a promise in Scripture that our lives will be easy. But when things feel like they're crashing down around you, we can confidently put our hope in God because he promises he will always be with us, and God always keeps his promises. And with his presence, we are never alone, but we can turn to him and find peace and comfort in the midst of struggle. We can find hope in the promised presence of God and trust that God keeps his promises. Second, we can find hope in Christ because he has already won the victory. There's a passage, I'm going to read it, 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. If you've been in this church for a long time, I would guess, I'm guessing this, we don't have an actual stats on this, but if we pick the verses or the passage that was read the most from this stage, I would guess it's this one. Because it's so good. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He says, no matter how bad things are, no matter how dark things feel, we can ultimately have hope in the fact that sin has been defeated, death has been defeated, darkness has been defeated, that Jesus has already won the victory. And that while life is hard, we've got theologically, we talk about the already, not yet, but we already have victory in Christ, not yet fully realized. But that we can hold on to the fact that Christ has been and will always be victorious. The brokenness of this world does not win, and because of that, we can hold on. We're not overwhelmed, but instead we can stand firm on the firm foundation no matter what is happening around us. And thirdly, we can find hope in Christ in the midst of struggle as we're reminded that this world is not all that there is, but that there is eternity still to come in which all will be made right. And no matter how bad things are right now, for the Christ follower, we can be reminded that this world is the worst it's ever going to be for us. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5 reads this. John says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God.'" He will, not might, not hopefully, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Where do we find hope? We find it that God, that through Jesus Christ, he says, "I will always be with you. I am present." That when the tomb was empty, victory was won. And that there is coming a day when all of this darkness, all of this brokenness will be no more. Like, you want to know what's not going to be a part of our eternity? The coronavirus. School shootings. Cancer, broken relationships. It's not going to be part of our ultimate reality. And what does that do for us? As the Christ follower, it allows us to hold on and to remind ourselves, this is the worst it's going to be. But there's coming a day where none of this will be part of my reality. How good does it sound? Death will be away. Tears will be wiped from our eyes. that this is not our home, but there's coming a day where there will be no more sin, no more brokenness, no more death. And because of that, we can persevere, we can hold on, we can keep going, we can have hope. See, friends, as we close, I put it this way. We all put our hope in something, in somebody or somewhere. There are things or people that we put our hope in with the hope that they will make our life secure, that they will promise us the good life. But then we come up against the fact that we live in a broken world, and the question becomes, where will we find hope that is not going to be shaken when life comes crashing down? And like David said in Psalm 42, the answer to that question is put your hope in God. The answer is the good news of the gospel. The answer is the empty tomb. That is what is going to make Easter so fun to celebrate here in a couple weeks, because it's a day to celebrate hope. It's not a fake hope, but it is one based on a person, on an event, on a person who can be trusted. So let me close with the question again. Where are you putting your hope? What happens when the things that you've put your hope in begin to crash? What then? There might be some of you here today. I look out here and I don't know all of you. There might be some of you here today going, I'm not sure about this whole Jesus thing. And I would encourage you to work backwards to what you believe about Jesus. Do it through the lens of, what do you believe provides hope? What do you believe is a firm foundation? Where do you put your hope? And I would encourage you to consider the good news of the gospel, to consider Jesus Christ, who says that he is the firm foundation, that even when the storms and the waves are crashing over, that he does not collapse, and we will not fall. We must put our hope firmly on that firm foundation. And friends, please know that every person you come in contact with is searching for hope as well. So we tell them about the amazing hope that is available in Christ Jesus. Let me close with Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Verse 12 begins this way. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Think about those four words today. Be joyful in hope. Where are you going to find your hope, friend? Put your hope in Jesus Christ, for he is the firm foundation. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray specifically for people sitting in these chairs right now who feel like life is crashing down, who feel like the storm is raging, who come here this morning not even really sure why they're here, not even sure which way's really up. Father, would they hear the good news today that in all the darkness and brokenness of the world, that you promise to be present, that you are victorious, and that we will spend eternity with you where none of this is our reality. Father, for those here today who have not put their faith in you, I pray they'd be challenged by those words today. Of what is a firm foundation then? Father, thank you that in the midst of sickness and death and brokenness, that we can still be joyful in hope. We are grateful for the hope that you provide, that you are the God of hope. Challenge us where we need challenging. Encourage us where we need encouragement. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.